a Worthen Brooks film. Words appear. Shuri Bottom, Pennsylvania, 1993. A house-shaped library box stands in the darkness. Books lean against the inner wall beyond a window door. A VHS case rests on a table inside a house. Its cover reads, "Sing Along, Mr. Crockett's World, A Friend Like Me." A mustached man in a sweater vest grins by people in a cartoonish bear and bird costume. A young boy sits in front of a box TV in a living room. He watches the man in the sweater vest, Mr. Crockett, stand with several children on a colorful set.
See my friends, Judah, Melanie, and Jane. Yes. How's your day going?
Good.
And you?
Amazing, Mr. Crockett.
Good, amazing, Mr. Crockett and Judah.
Incredible.
A woman sits by a man at a dining table near the TV.
Darren.
Darren ignores them as the TV flashes with static.
Let's learn how to count countries. Cuatro, cinco, seis. Can you pick up the pace?
Boy, don't make me get up from this chair.
Darren stands.
Now, you hear me?
Yeah.
The woman smiles tightly as Darren pokes at his green beans with a spoon.
I don't know what you're waiting on. Eat up.
The woman looks from the man to Darren.
That's right, honey. It's good for you. Here.
Don't baby the boy.
The woman stiffens. Darren eyes the man.
Eat!
The man sips a beer can. The paused video warps and Mr. Crockett's grin drops.
Hey, don't forget your veggies.
Mr. Crockett glares at the man.
I'm sorry. I'm full.
The man shoots to his feet.
Hey.
We both work our asses off to provide for you. I'm not gonna be disrespected in my house.
You wanna be treated like a fucking baby?
He grabs Darren's arm.
I'll treat you like a baby then.
No!
Eat.
I'm full!
I said
I don't
eat.
Wanna!
Stop!
The woman stands and pulls the man's arm away from Darren.
Now keep going.
Crying, Darren eats his food. The woman shuts her eyes. The woman shoves past a chair. The woman storms away.
You're gonna thank me for this shit one day.
She sits on a bed.
Somebody's gotta teach them how to be a man.
The woman covers her face. The video blurs and shifts as Mr. Crockett gradually sinks out of the frame. The bird and bear watch him go. Mr. Crockett peers out of the VHS player's slot. Darren glumly eats his food. Mr. Crockett's fingers curl out of the VHS player. A shadow slips past the dining table. Darren looks at the front door open while the lights flicker wildly. The man looks over his shoulder as Mr. Crockett leans into the house, a massive grin on his face.
Mr. Crockett?
Who the fuck are you?
Language. Who's ready for a second course?
A monstrous chair grabs the man. Two huge eye stalks rise from the chair.
Dessert for the young man who ate all his veggies.
Wow, awesome.
He hands Darren cotton candy.
Let me go, man. Please, man.
Go. But it's family dinner time. Aren't you going to eat, Kevin?
Yeah, Kevin. You haven't cleaned your plate.
Mr. Crockett turns Kevin's food into worms and slime.
I can't eat that shit.
Such a dirty mouth. You know, nutrition is the cornerstone of a healthy life and good attitude. If you don't eat right, you can get the grumpies. And no one likes a grumpy Gus. Right, here?
You betcha.
Darren grins.
So, I'm going to help you step up and be a big, strong man, Kevin. You see, so far, you've been a really, really bad example for your stepson. I'm going to give you a chance to show him how it's done. One last chance.
Mr. Crockett wriggles a finger in front of Kevin. Mr. Crockett scoops up slime with a spoon and brings it to Kevin's mouth.
We're coming in for a landing!
The woman, Darren's mom, frowns.
Yes, we are. Open up. Come on. Open wide. You can do it. You can do it. Come on. Come on, say it. Open up. Open up, Kevin.
I guess force feeding doesn't feel that good. Oh, Kevin. Bye.
Mr. Crockett throws down the spoon and stands.
Guess we're going to have to do this the more direct way.
He draws a knife. He slashes Kevin's belly open. Darren's mom slowly moves to her door as Kevin's guts spill out.
Yummy, yummy, for your tummy. You got to finish all your food. Come on, let's go.
He shoves the plate of worms into Kevin's guts.
Oh, go in there. Don't spit it out.
Oh, I think it's time for Grandma's chicken.
He shoves more food in.
That's a very good idea, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Crockett sticks a hot iron into Kevin. Darren's mom inches down a hall. Mr. Crockett holds a green bean.
Well,
Take a great big bite. It's so good for your health.
Darren's mom walks in and gawks.
Oh, let's show him how to be a man. What happened? Who's a man now?
Static fills the box TV as images of Mr. Crockett on his set flash.
A friend like you is a friend like me.
Children, hear my song.
Whenever you're in trouble, you
call out to me.
You can call on me.
I'll find you.
In a heartbeat.
I'll save you from all the mommies and daddies that don't deserve your love. The way I do.
A title appears in the static. Mr. Crockett.
Who's next? I'm always watching.
Pale sunlight falls on a city filled with bare trees. A colorful play place stands in a yard of dead grass. A woman wearing a black dress sits in a car parked outside a weathered, boarded-up house. A young boy wearing a black suit sits in the back. The woman holds a whistle to her chin.
Why are we here? I want to go home.
Because Daddy was sick for a long time, and we did everything we could. And this is how we say goodbye.
A tear rolls down her face.
This is how Daddy would want us to say goodbye. Okay.
The boy sags in his seat.
Let's go.
A man plays a piano in a church filled with people in black. The boy's mom drags him into the church.
Baby.
Come on. No, I'm not going in there.
Sweetheart, listen to me. I know this is hard, honey.
A man lies in an open casket.
You have to do this for Daddy. Okay.
Can I have my game, please?
Yeah, okay. You behave.
She hands him a handheld game console.
Let's go. Come on.
Later, the mom stands at a podium.
Well, thank you all for being here to help celebrate my husband's life. I feel like I'm looking out at everybody that made him him. It's the absolute pride of Shuri Bottom. He got to be all up in all y'all's business. And y'all gave him a lot of names. Some of you knew him as Baby Bev. Some of you called him Coach B. A lot of you just called him Jay. But for me,
she looks at her son playing his console at a pew.
He was my everything.
Others around the boy look downward and wipe tears from their faces. A breeze combs through a tree's autumnal leaves outside of a pale blue house. Inside, the mom puts a paper plate in a trash bag.
Thank you.
She hugs a tall man in a black suit. She speaks with another man in a suit. A framed photo shows the boy grinning with his dad. Football trophies stand around it. Outside, a dirty missing poster for Darren hangs on a power line pole. A figure in a dark coat touches it. The mom stares at a framed photo of her with her husband and son.
I'm so bored. Can I go outside?
Yeah, baby. stay where I can see him.
A short-haired woman watches the boy rush out a door with a bag.
Oh, he got a mouth on him. You know, with Jarrell gone, it's gonna be up to you to keep that in check. And a good whooping's the only way. Swear to Jesus, that's the best advice I could ever give you. What is that keeping me?
The mom stares at the short-haired woman blankly. A stereo system in VHS sits near the mom in a cabinet. The boy tosses a football up and down near the pale blue house. The figure with the black coat, Darren's mom, approaches the boy.
You like football?
The boy eyes her and nods.
My son loves football, too.
She wears disheveled clothing and her lips peel.
You know, you remind me of him. You really do. But you're not gonna end up like him. No, I swear, not if you're with me.
Hey, let me go!
The boy's mom continues to stare at the short-haired woman.
Hey, let me go!
Come on, let me just get a closer look at you.
No, stop!
Don't you want to be my friend? We could all use more friends. Oh, do you want to sing a song? A song that friends sing together? A friend like you, a friend like me. A friend like us is a friend like we.
Let go of me!
Good, good.
Mama!
Here comes you one. You hear me? You pull hard and you run as fast as you can.
The mom rushes out the front door.
Mom!
Get your hands off my child! What the fuck is wrong with you?
No,
get out of here! I just wanted to warn him to just keep him safe. Get the fuck off my property before I beat your ass. He's coming. You understand?
The boy's mom stares down Darren's mom.
He wants your boy. He wants Major. So don't you never let him go.
You hear me? Because he won't never come back.
Major's mom scowls at her.
I'll stay with him forever. A friend like you.
Major's mom runs back into her house. Major's mom lies in her bed at night, her hand resting on the empty space beside her. Her eyes droop shut.
Daddy, Daddy.
She lifts her face. She enters Major's room as he rolls side to side on his bed, eyes shut.
Major, hey, you're dreaming.
She turns on a lamp.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey.
Major's eyes shoot open.
Hey, baby.
I want Daddy.
Daddy isn't here anymore, honey. I'm sorry, I wish he was here too. But, maybe one day, when the time comes, we'll see him again.
Why can't I see him now?
You want the truth?
Major nods.
I'm just as lost and as sad as you are. Between the bills and taking care of you and keeping a roof over our heads, I honestly have no idea what to do.
She cups his face.
But I tell you what, one thing is never gonna change, Major. We will never be alone going through this. You and me, we will always, always have each other.
Major gives a tiny nod. His mom looks him over, then walks away.
One second.
Major sits up while his mom returns with the whistle.
Keeping it real? Be a horrible coach. I was always shit at sports.
But if you ever have a scary dream again, or if you ever need me for anything, you just blow that whistle, and I will do my best to pick up right where Daddy left off. And maybe sometimes, when I really need you, you can be a good boy and help Mommy out, too. Because we're a team. Right?
Right.
They share a warm smile as he holds the whistle. Major's mom kisses his cheek.
I love you.
She enters the hall. She smiles and walks back into Major's room.
All right. Scoot your big butt over.
You're the one with the big butt.
Says who?
Me.
Okay.
She lies with him.
Proud of it, too.
Later, Major jumps on his bed with his whistle.
I understand that life is a gamble. Easily you can play like a
piano. Right at me?
Major's mom looks over a stack of envelopes, one of which reads past due. Major trips near her and drops his console, cracking the screen.
Dang. Oh my god. Major, do you have any idea how much that costs?
I don't care!
Major's mom puts a cassette titled Mastering Parenting into a player.
If your child is throwing a tantrum, remember, it's just a means of testing their own power. So if they're curious about what it means to be in control, let them be in control.
You can't get me!
Major's mom chases him around a living room couch.
Major! Now, chase you!
To truly connect with your child, you must first connect with yourself. Let go of any anger or frustration. Achieve the zen. You need to be a role model they deserve.
Major draws on their fridge with a crayon, his mom sitting nearby.
Awesome. Oh, I think you missed a spot over there.
Oh, I got it.
She wearily watches him scribble hard on the fridge.
Radical tip. Instead of spanking your child, allow your child to spank you in a hands-on demonstration of the value of M.
Major's mom yanks the tape out. Major runs past her.
Major, I'm begging you to please stop.
A library box drops into their front yard, standing upright. Major's mom cocks her head at her front door. Major's mom steps across her front yard to the library box, her brow knitted. Major's mom looks through the box's windowed door at the books inside. She pulls the Mr. Crockett VHS out of the box. Major's mom examines the vibrant cover, then turns it over and looks at the back. She gives a little smile and glances at her front door. Major's mom returns to her house. Major spins in front of their living room TV.
Major. Major. Check this out. I got something for you.
He cocks his head at her. Major's mom pushes the VHS into a player. The TV shows an animated Mr. Crockett grinning and waving.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to trouble, you can call on me. I'll be there to protect you in a heartbeat.
Major watches intently from the couch.
Yes.
Major's mom glances at him as she leaves.
My friends, I have a special treat.
Have fun, Major.
Can you guess what it is?
What?
It's magical marker time!
Yay!
Yes! And with my magical marker, if you can think it,
he uses his marker to draw a ball in the air.
A basketball.
The kids play with the ball. An image of Mr. Crockett glaring flashes.
Whatever you can do, and you can bounce it however you want to bounce it.
Major's mom lies heavily on her bed and stares at her ceiling. Major's mom appears on a circular TV. It switches to an image of her house, then a street sign reading Maple Court. Another house appears, then a little girl in front of a TV.
Direct the border to the Express Army.
Darren's mom sits in a dark room in front of an assortment of TVs. She presses her hands to the screen showing the little girl. The little girl watches a Mr. Crockett VHS in a dimly lit pink bedroom. A clock on the set grins toothily.
Breadcrumbs!
Breadcrumbs!
An image of Mr. Crockett grinning flashes. The girl gapes as the video turns off.
Hey!
The girl hurries to her TV and smacks the top.
No, come on!
She rushes out of the room and into a grimy living room. She steps to a balding man in a lounge chair, eyes shut.
Dad? Daddy, wake up.
The girl looks at a syringe poking out of her dad's arm, a tube tied around his elbow. She lifts a cup of water from a small table, then rigidly turns it over his head.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
The girl's dad turns away from her, water dripping from his nose.
I told you to stay in your room.
The TV's broken. You gotta come fix it.
You pull this shit with your mom?
He gets up and walks away. She follows him into her bedroom and watches him examine the TV.
It's dead. There's nothing I can do about it. Grab a new one soon.
But I was watching...
I don't care! Okay? It is one damn night!
He crouches and holds the girl's arms as she tears up.
You are a big enough girl to entertain yourself, Carrie. Okay? Now, I'm gonna go take care of some important grown-up stuff. So you do not come out of here until I open this door. You understand?
Okay.
He leaves and shuts the door. Carrie's dad returns to the living room and looks at a spoon crusted with dry heroin. The syringe lies next to it. A library box stands on a post outside their house. Carrie rolls back and forth on her bed.
A friend like you is a friend like me. A friend like us is a friend like me. Whenever you're in trouble...
The lights in Carrie's room flicker wildly. She looks around. The lights shut off. Carrie gawks as her TV turns back on. Light from its blue screen washes over her. Carrie looks right to left.
Who's there?
She looks back at her TV, her eyes rimmed with tears. Carrie swallows heavily. A hand slams against the interior of her TV, cracking it. Carrie's dad stands at a kitchen counter and pulls a bundle of foil from a tin.
You're supposed to just say no.
Carrie's dad whips toward Mr. Crockett, reading a newspaper in his chair.
Who the fuck are you?
I'm just a friend. I heard some raised voices and wanted to see if everything was all right.
Carrie's dad shifts from foot to foot.
Yeah, well, you must be hearing things then, friend, because nobody was yelling here, okay? So I'm gonna need you to leave. Excuse me, what the fuck do you think you're doing? Hey, I told you to leave.
Oh, but I'm enjoying your chair. It feels great. You know, hey, good taste, Bill. You get a gold star.
Bill grabs a revolver from a shelf and aims it at Mr. Crockett.
You listen to me, asshole. I'm gonna need you to get the fuck out of my house.
Oh, Bill. You're mistaken about two things. First, your gun seems to be having some issues.
Bill grimaces, then pulls the trigger. A bubble shoots out.
Oh, beautiful bubbles. You like bubbles, Bill?
Bill stands frozen.
Secondly, this is my house now.
Mr. Crockett rises from Bill's chair.
I'm going to be brutally honest with you, Bill.
Mr. Crockett inches closer to Bill.
I'm here because you failed your sacred duty as a parent. And I'm afraid for that slip-up, I'm going to have to teach you a lesson.
What the fuck is this? What the fuck is going on? Why can't I move?
To start with, something tells me that no one ever taught you about the magic of sharing. Like sharing your time and your love with that little Carrie. Oh, but that's okay, Bill. Because I have a song to teach you all about it.
Mr. Crockett stares unblinkingly into Bill's eyes.
Sharing means caring, can't you see?
He turns Bill's gun around.
Sharing means trust between you and me. Give me what's yours, and I'll give you what's mine. And we'll share together all the time.
Bill holds the gun in his mouth.
Sharing means caring, can't you see?
Bill cocks the gun.
Sharing means trust.
Mr. Crockett gradually sits in the lounge chair while Bill pulls the trigger.
Then I'll give you what's mine.
A bubble expands in Bill's mouth. Mr. Crockett smiles as the bubble grows, breaking Bill's jaw.
And we'll share together all of the time.
The bubble pops, bursting Bill's head. Carrie sits on her floor. Her door opens. Carrie turns to her open door. Pink light flickers beyond it.
Whenever you're in trouble.
Carrie gets up and wanders into the hall.
I'll be there to protect you.
Darren's mom leans close to a window outside Carrie's house. She watches Carrie enter her living room and grin at Mr. Crockett.
Run.
Mr. Crockett leans to Carrie.
No, Carrie. No. No.
Carrie walks to the source of the pink light. Mr. Crockett looks at Darren's mom and his grin falters. He walks after Carrie. The pink light goes out, and Darren's mom presses her back to the house. She holds her hands to her face. Major watches his TV.
And next to you is staring at it. Share to your left, share to your right. That's the best thing to do and the most fun. So remember, sharing means caring. Can't you see? Sharing mistrust between you and me.
Major's mom walks over and observes as the TV flickers and Blocky Bird gradually faces her. Major's mom wrinkles her brow and leans back. She glances at Major as Blocky Bird continues to stare. The TV flickers and Blocky Bird dances.
Fucking public television. Ooh, my damn donation back.
All right, Major, that's enough TV time.
She pulls out the VHS.
Hey! It is time for a Mr. Crockett break. All right, don't you want to go outside? We can play football.
I don't want to play football. I want Mr. Crockett.
You've been watching this video for days now, honey. It's not good for you.
He glares, then reaches for the VHS.
You...
She pulls her hand back.
Major!
She lifts the VHS over her head and he jumps for it. Major turns to a framed photo of Jor-El on a table, then grabs it.
Don't you dare.
He chucks it down. Major's mom gawks at him while he grabs a large trophy from the table.
I swear to God, if you don't put that down...
I want Mr. Crockett back!
I'm not playing with you, boy. You put your father's trophy down right now.
He lowers the trophy. Major locks eyes with his mom. Major hurls the trophy down.
What the hell is wrong with you? Huh? Oh my God, I bust my ass every day looking after you, and this is how you want to act, huh? This is how you want to repay me by being the biggest pain in my ass? Oh my God, I'm done with your shit. I'm done, I'm done. If this is how you're gonna act, you don't want to be on my team? Fine, all right, I quit. I quit being your fucking mother. I quit.
Major gapes at her while tears fill his eyes. She briefly shuts her eyes.
Don't start crying.
She throws up her hands.
Midge, go to your room.
Major steps to her.
Stop looking at me. Go to your room right now.
Major walks away. Major's mom holds a hand up and turns toward the broken photo and trophy. A full moon looms over the library box in front of Major's house. Lights flash over the library box. Major lies in his bed. Major's mom lies in bed holding the whistle. She blinks while staring into the darkness of her bedroom. Major's mom gets out of her bed. Shadows fall across Major's mom in patches as she starts down the hall. She pauses. Major's mom collects herself, then heads down the hall. She stops outside Major's bedroom. She leans to Major's door, then sharply turns to lights flashing from a doorway. Frowning, she walks to her living room TV as the Mr. Crockett video plays. Major's mom switches on a lamp, grabs the remote, then turns off her TV. She sets down the remote. She starts to walk away. Major's mom turns back to the TV. She taps the remote. Major's mom puts down the remote and heads out. Major's mom returns and taps her remote. The volume turns up. She smacks the remote. She stomps to her TV and shoves it to the floor. Major's mom staggers back. She starts to walk out. Major's mom looks back at the TV. Her face draws tight. The TV slides back. She stares at the TV as Mr. Crockett's hands reach out from its shattered screen. Major's mom gapes. Mr. Crockett pushes the TV up. Major's mom's eyes bulge as Mr. Crockett sticks his head out of the TV, glass shards sticking out of his bloody face. He grins. She flees.
Hello there.
Major's mom bolts into her bedroom and pulls a baseball bat out from under her bed. She runs back out while Mr. Crockett draws a door of pink light into the air with his marker. He scribbles a line of light into the air and it shoots at Major's mom. She dodges it. Grinning, Mr. Crockett enters the door of light. It vanishes. The VHS player's slot shakes. The VHS cover goes up in flames. She races to Major's door.
Whenever you're in trouble.
Major sits up in his bed as Mr. Crockett holds a hand to him. Major's mom smashes a hole in his door with her bat, then reaches through it for the knob.
Say goodbye to mommy, Major.
Major stands with Mr. Crockett.
Goodbye, mommy.
Mommy,
pay
Mr. Crockett and Major enter the door of light, shimmering over his closet door. Major's mom forces the room door open as they disappear. Major's mom barrels in and throws open the closet before wildly searching through it. She stops and covers her mouth. She holds a hand to her chest. Major's mom sits outside her house, red and blue lights flashing over her. A tear slides down her face.
Another runaway?
Who can blame him? Junkie mom ranting about some people walking through walls?
Shit. Sounds like he dodged a bullet, taken off. He's a smart kid.
A cop looks at a small photo of Major. Major's eyes blink open. Three kids rush across Mr. Crockett set to him with huge grins. The blue rosy-cheeked bear hops over.
Welcome home, Major!
Yes! He's right! Welcome home, Major!
Wow.
My world, you don't never, ever have to worry about bad grown-ups hurting you again. No.
Images flash of the same set, but dilapidated. Static fills Major's eyes. A wall with a fireplace and lights making a silly face shifts into a crumbling fireplace with flickering lights. A grinning man's face and a sun flashes into a bloody face and a moon hanging by a crimson vortex. Blocky Bird flashes into a skeleton dripping with bloody flesh, bulging eyes in its gaping beak. Major's mom staples a missing poster of Major on a wooden pole and walks away. Major's mom shows a man on a sidewalk a poster. He takes it and shakes his head. She speaks to him and he walks off with it. Major's mom talks with a man and woman at an intersection. They shake their heads. Major's mom walks to a house. A cop emerges from it, a hacked apart body briefly revealed as the door opens. Major's mom steps past the crowd to a woman by the cop.
I'm next door, right over there. Been watching this place for years.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Might just crack the case open.
Okay. Hey, can you tell me what all this is about?
Ooh, don't get me started. I knew this was gonna happen. I knew it. Been trying to get the cops involved with him for years.
With who?
This deadbeat junkie. All types of lowlifes in and out of there. Cops think it was a suicide. But I know that there's some other shit involved. Look at that place. He's all over the walls. Walked in on the whole thing. Now, I ain't gonna be able to sleep for a year.
You got any idea who?
They was long gone. All that, and they ain't even take nothing? Just busted out the screen on his TV? Fucking dope fiends. Nothing makes sense with them. And the worst part is, they can't find this little girl. 8 years old. Goddamn shame.
He's killing parents and taking more kids.
Hey, where did you say you lived again? Hey!
A man in a cab watches Major's mom walk off. Major's mom sits in a library in front of a microfilm reader. She brings up an image of a newspaper showing a picture of Darren below a headline, another missing child reported in Shuri Bottom. She shifts to a newspaper image of a raven-haired girl below the headline, parents questioned in disappearance of abducted girl. Her face tightens. Then she focuses on an article with the headline, children show host killed in shootout with police. She looks from a photo of a figure on a floor under a bloody white cloth to the article's date, October 17, 1979. Major's mom reads a headline, Emmanuel Crockett dead after kidnapping attempt. She looks over another, Anthony Williams returns safe to family. Major's mom turns toward an open doorway with blue light flickering out. Major's mom heads to the doorway. She walks through the dark room, filled with tall shelves holding microfilm containers.
Whenever you're in trouble, you can call on me. I'll be there to protect you in a heartbeat.
Major's mom stops in front of a TV on a table.
A friend like me, a friend like us, it's a friend like we.
The screen flickers and Mr. Crockett fixes Major's mom with a look.
Well, hello there.
She stares.
I see that you've been looking for me. Well, here I am, silly goose. Why don't you come a little closer and say hello?
He waves and smiles. Major's mom steals herself, then walks closer to the TV. Mr. Crockett's smile fades. Major's mom stands inches away from the TV.
Stop looking for a summer. Unless you want to join your husband in hell. Believe me, summer, I can arrange it.
Mr. Crockett thrusts his hand out and grabs Summer by her coat. He lets her go and she flees. Summer dashes through the library. Summer whirls around while people reading or checking out books eye her. Summer covers her eyes.
Believe it all, okay? Everything that you've been trying to tell me.
I'm sorry, who are you?
The man in the cap smiles.
Sorry, my name is Eddie Briggs. I saw your flyers about your boy. Major, right?
Summer nods.
Look, I believe it all about Crockett.
Summer looks deeply into Eddie's eyes. Rain-drenched swings sway in a breeze. Eddie sits beside Summer while she lightly rocks back and forth, her fingers twitching.
I'm sorry, it's just... it's a lot.
Hey, believe me, I get it.
She nods. Eddie looks down at a worn photo of a young girl and smiles.
This is, my Lauren.
He hands it to Summer. She holds it up and takes in the little girl's image.
She's been missing 5 months now? No leads, no traces. Cops seem to think that her mother took her, but I know better.
What does he want with them?
I don't know. Family? Yeah, maybe he thinks that we fucked up as parents.
She turns to a man with his back to them, holding the arms of a grinning girl.
I mean, I read that he died 20 years ago, but somehow he can come through the fucking TV.
I mean, how is
any of this real?
But I can't explain it, but...
Summer sharply turns to the man and girl as they play patty cake.
No. I feel like I'm losing my mind.
Hey, you're not.
The man by the girl turns to Summer, revealing Mr. Crockett's face.
Hey! Run away from me!
Stop!
No,
stop!
Wait.
Stop!
The man shoots Summer a look, his face no longer Mr. Crockett's.
Okay. It's all right.
I thought that was...
No, you need to relax, all right? Look, you know what always cheers me up? Little ice cream. Some ice cream.
What the fuck are you talking about? He has my son.
And we're gonna find him. And my daughter too, I promise.
You don't know that.
No, hey, I know that you survived. Which is why I needed to find you. Look, in all my searching, you're the only person who's seen him and come out alive, and that has to mean something.
An image flashes.
He's coming! He wants your boy.
I'm not the only one.
What?
There was this homeless woman. She was singing the song before I even got the VHS. I mean, I thought that she was trying to take Major, but I think she was trying to warn me about Crockett.
No, maybe she's like us. Maybe she lost a kid. She may have even filed a missing child's report with details that are just like ours. I've actually got a couple friends in the department. If we can get a name on her and she's known around here, we may be able to track her down. Do you think I could just get your info?
Yes.
Maybe we can attack this together.
Summer writes on a paper.
Tomorrow? We're coming for his ass.
Summer's porch light shines coldly at night. Summer sleeps in her bed. Her face tightens as images flash of the library box and Crockett. She shoots up and hurries out of her bed to Jarell, standing nearby.
I can't believe it. I can't.
She hugs him tightly.
Oh, you don't understand how much I miss you.
How's Major? How's little man old enough?
Summer's eyes flutter.
He's gone. He was taken from me.
What? Someone took our child? You let someone take our child?
No, I didn't.
You probably drove him away. You never let him have any fun.
What?
Jarell's face starts to rot. Summer flinches away from him as he stares at her piercingly.
You might as well accept it, Summer. He's never coming back.
His rot bleeds.
He doesn't want to come back. He's happier with me.
Jarell peels his face off, revealing Mr. Crockett grinning beneath. Pink lights strobe over them.
I told you. I sent you to hell.
Summer jolts up in her bed. Summer grabs her bat, resting at her side, and walks out of her bedroom. Summer moves through her living room toward her front door, gripping the bat. She flinches. Summer advances to her front door. She ducks beneath the door's window, then slowly peers through it.
Hey, Summer!
Boy.
She opens up.
Don't you ever knock on my door like that in the middle of the night again.
Look, I'm sorry, I just needed to talk to you.
They invented phones for a reason.
Yeah, I know, but I found her. Turns out that there is a homeless woman with a missing child who filed a report.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Rhonda Harper. They got a last known location for her. It's just a ways out.
Let me get changed.
Okay.
They get in Eddie's car.
Sorry, it's my daughter. So.
Summer nods.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Eddie drives down a dimly lit road. His car's headlights cut through the darkness as he continues down a bridge. Eddie parks on the side of a street. His radio's clock flickers, now reading 2:37. He pulls his keys from the ignition. Eddie and Summer get out of his car. They walk to a shack made of wood pallets, sheet metal, and a tarp by a transmission tower.
Rhonda?
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 Rhonda, if you're out here, we don't want to hurt you. We just want to talk.
Eddie hits a tripwire, making cans hanging on a string shake. Rhonda grabs Summer from behind and holds a knife to her throat.
Who sent you? Was it him? The fuck, Eddie?
Eddie pulls a gun.
Drop the knife now. Let her go.
Rhonda eyes Eddie's handgun, then releases Summer. Rhonda points her knife at Eddie.
This is my home.
Eddie's hands tremble.
Hey, Rhonda. Hey, we've met before. We've met before.
Rhonda fixes her with a look.
Crockett took my son just like he stole yours. You tried to warn me, but I didn't listen then, and I'm so sorry about that. But I am here now, and I am here to listen.
Major lost his daddy. So much pain in that boy.
Crockett feels it. How'd you know he'd come for my son?
Eddie lowers his gun. Rhonda leads him and Summer into her shack. They look around at Rhonda's TVs. Summer looks at an assortment of devices placed on a table.
You used to come to me. My dreams.
Summer turns to Rhonda, standing in front of her TVs.
Told me to give up. To let Darren go, but I can't. What mother could?
She locks eyes with Summer, then bends over and turns a dial on a TV.
So I kept on looking. Hunting Crockett. And I realized he must be watching us. Monitoring us. Through the airwaves to see which kids he wanted to take. I could almost feel it running through me. His power. And I wondered if I could tap into that signal, receive it somehow. If I had enough power of my own. So I came out here and built this. Are you saying you can connect with him? With his mind?
If he's coming into our world?
Rhonda nods.
But it's all jumbled. A mess of flickering channels, bad reception, this endless stream of rage and sadness.
So if you know where he's gonna be and who he's gonna take, why haven't you stopped him?
I tried. But he's too strong. When I lost everything the first time, my son, my mind, it broke me. I can't face him again.
It's okay. You're not alone. Rhonda, we've got your back.
But you have to try. For our kids, for Darren, we have to confront him.
Tears rolling down Rhonda's face reflect the static of her TVs.
Can you show us how?
Summer eyes a TV. Rhonda nods. Eddie stands behind Rhonda and Summer as they sit before the circular TV. Rhonda presses her hands to the TV screen. Summer and Eddie watch Rhonda stare into the TV static. The other TVs activate and she pulls her hands away. A screen with Mr. Crockett appears.
Rhonda?
Rhonda's eyes fill with static. Images flash on the TV of children in Mr. Crockett's set.
Right now he's searching, monitoring happy children. They bring up happy memories from long ago.
Children dance on the set. Rhonda's head cranes back. Mr. Crockett wears a blindfold on his set. Children run away. Mr. Crockett throws off his blindfold.
Where you guys go? You guys are making this really hard on Mr. Crockett.
Anthony steps out with a grin.
I found you, Anthony. I found you.
Eddie's face tenses as he watches Mr. Crockett play with Anthony.
Something's wrong. His mind. It's everywhere.
Images flash of a house at night and a girl.
He sees a child in pain. Her pain opens old wounds. A bad memory. I've seen it before.
Mr. Crockett's image resolves.
Oh, girls and boys. I am your new best friend, Mr. Crockett. And here to help me today is my best pal, Benny the Bison.
Hello, boys and girls. My name is Benny the Bison.
He holds up a sock puppet of a bison. His backdrop falls.
Oh, come on, man! No! Ask him to do one goddamn thing. Hold the fucking string.
Fuck you.
No, fuck you! Where are you going? You non-string holding motherfucker!
Holy shit.
You're a failure, a joke, and a loser. You would never amount to anything.
He tries and fails to juggle. He holds up the bison puppet.
Loser. Fuck you, okay? Don't you ever talk to me that way, you ignorant motherfucker!
Loser.
Shut up!
Loser.
Shut up!
Loser.
He hammers the puppet with his hand in it.
His anger.
For the loser!
He can't control
Come on,
it.
Say it with me! I'm not a loser!
You're watching this.
It means he's gonna strike.
I guess this ends our friendship.
Kelly, I'm not gonna tell you again. It's bedtime.
There. He's got a location.
You have school in the morning.
Did you see that?
Stop it.
An address.
Summer looks from images of Mr. Crockett set to Rhonda spasming.
Rhonda.
She shakes.
Rhonda. Rhonda, we got the address. We know where he's gonna be. Wake up!
Eddie turns the TV's dial. Rhonda sags.
We did it. We know where to find him.
Summer turns to Eddie.
Now let's go get the fucker.
Eddie, Summer, and Rhonda get out of Eddie's car parked by Kelly's house.
Rhonda. Hey, Rhonda. Hey, come on. We need all the help we can get. Do you ever wonder if they're better off with him?
With Crockett? Fuck no. What are you talking about?
I should have stood up for him. I shouldn't have. What did you do? I drove your boy away.
Summer opens and closes her mouth.
It only comes when you've hurt them.
Summer, we gotta move. We don't know when he got here.
Summer gives Rhonda a tender look.
Rhonda, listen to me. Hey, what a boy needs is his mother.
Rhonda stares off.
You hear me?
Rhonda nods.
Come on. I got you.
Rhonda takes Summer's outstretched hand and follows her and Eddie away. They pass by a library box on a post on their way to Kelly's front door. The porch light flickers as Eddie opens the front door. Eddie holds a hand to his gun holstered at his hip while moving through the house with Rhonda and Summer. They look at letters written in blood over pictures and a mirror on a wall behind a static-filled TV. Summer shines a flashlight on a smashed-open VHS below the TV. She sweeps her light over toy magnet letters on the floor spelling out, "Murder is fun, kill Pop." They look at a static-filled TV in another room. Eddie draws his gun.
I don't know what you think you're gonna do with that.
They walk through the house, then turn to a man's decapitated body slumped beneath a coat hanger. His severed arms dangle from the hanger and point at him. Summer covers Rhonda's mouth.
Will Boogaloo Bruce be there?
Oh, yes, he will. The whole gang will be there waiting for you.
Go on, my child. Go on through.
Kelly enters light.
I'll be there before you can say Benny Bison's brains were battered 10 times. Fast.
Mr. Crockett's grin tightens as he turns. The grin fades. Summer and Eddie crouch behind an overturned table. Rhonda quickly hides behind a fridge. Mr. Crockett emerges from a doorway, gushing with pink light. Mr. Crockett holds the doorknob. Eddie meets Summer's eye. Wrinkling her brow, Summer gradually peeks past the table at the doorway, then pulls back. Mr. Crockett walks to the overturned table and stops.
I know someone's in here.
He steps forward.
It is very bad manners to not introduce yourself.
Eddie stiffens.
Come out, come out, wherever you are.
Rhonda trembles. Mr. Crockett sweeps his hand through the air and the table slides away. Rhonda slams Mr. Crockett with a chair, making him drop.
Rhonda! Gateway!
Summer and Eddie race downstairs to the door of light. Rhonda appears at the top.
Rhonda!
Mr. Crockett stabs Rhonda's neck with a shard of wood and drags her off.
We have to go back!
Mr. Crockett returns.
Fuck, come on, come on, come on.
Eddie and Rhonda rush through the door of light. Flickering streaks of light radiate from a brilliant center of white radiance, then shift into TV static. Summer's eyes snap open. She lies on the floor of Mr. Crockett's set, decrepit and rotting. Ash whirls around her as she shakes Eddie, lying beside her. Eddie's eyes open and he quickly sits up. They look around the set. Amber lights shine harshly from an overhead light frame. Summer looks up from the rubble littering the ruined set to a hole in the ceiling. Her eyes widen at the bloody-faced moon looming in the crimson vortex. Eddie gapes at it. Summer and Eddie get up. The bear's foot stomps forward. Eddie and Summer hurry back. Eddie and Summer hold each other. The bear lunges at them.
Wait, wait, wait.
The bear opens its enormous fanged maw. One eye droops out of its socket. Eddie sprints away as Mr. Crockett steps out from behind the bear. Mr. Crockett turns to the bear.
You are such a good friend, Blue.
Drool leaks from Blue's rows of fangs. Summer tenses.
Now go find me the other one.
He darts to Summer.
Welcome.
Eddie crouches behind a wall of chains.
You need a hug.
Sit.
Mr. Crockett pushes Summer into chair. Chair wraps its fanged wooden arms around her waist.
Gumby.
Enough. Just restrain her, okay? But leave it at that. I have other plans for her.
But first, it sounds like it's story time!
The clock's tentacles thrash and its eyes roll. Story
time. Are you ready, boys and girls? Oh, come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Oh, look at you guys. So beautiful. Oh.
Major. 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 Sweetie, honey, wake up! Major, wake up! We gotta run! Major, baby, hey! Wake up! Listen to Mama!
Oh, so what story shall we tell today? Oh, please tell us your story, Mr. Crockett!
No, 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 no! I'm sure you're sick of hearing that by now!
No, never, ever, Mr. Crockett! It's our favorite! Ah! Okay, if you insist! Truth be told, it's my favorite, too.
He hefts a huge book titled The Story of Mr. Crockett, then sits by the children.
Okay. Here we go.
Eddie crawls off as Crockett opens his book. Animated scenes play out.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Emmanuel.
Me?
Major grins. Static fills the children's eyes.
And I was just your size a long, long time ago. And just like you, I wished for better parents. My father was a very, very bad man. He would hit me nearly every day. For no reason at all, other than the fact that I was the only one left who couldn't run away. But you know what? I kept eating all the food I could find so that I can keep growing bigger and stronger. And soon, I made sure my father never hit me again.
Teenaged Crockett brains his father with a pot.
I made it look like an accident, so the police couldn't put me in timeout. And that's when I knew that it was my calling to protect all the girls and boys in the world, especially from those parents who weren't any good at loving their children. And most of all, I dreamed of having my own family so that I could be a good parent to all the kids in the world. Everything was going so well.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to Mr. Crockett's world.
And then one day, I met one special boy on my set. A boy with sad eyes. I knew there was something wrong at his home.
Eddie crouches near Summer.
So I offered the boy, Anthony, a place to stay. But no one really understood that I only wanted what was best for the boy.
Mr. Crockett leads Anthony into his house. He plays with him using a Blocky Bird hand puppet. Mr. Crockett throws Anthony into a closet as two cops barge through his front door, guns drawn.
Freeze!
Mr. Crockett stabs them with a knife. Anthony cries in the closet. A third cop enters as Anthony rushes out of the closet. The cop shoots at Anthony. Mr. Crockett dives in front of Anthony, taking all the cop's shots. Anthony kneels over Mr. Crockett's body as he grins, his bullet wounds oozing blood. A cop drags Anthony away. Mr. Crockett kneels in an inferno raging in a cavern.
But that wasn't the end of my story.
Crockett slices his arm with a knife.
I made a deal to send bad parents' souls to hell.
He carves a pentacle.
In exchange for a world of my own.
He stands in his dilapidated set.
And now, I bring good children, worthy children, to my paradise to play forever.
Summer watches Mr. Crockett shut his book and kneel by the children.
And I will protect you.
The children stare at him with static-filled eyes.
And I'll make you happy in all the ways you ever desired. No pain, no anger, no yelling, no spanking, no veggies or time out or bedtime.
No bedtime.
You're snatching kids over bedtime. That's insane.
Oh.
Eddie, no, get the kids. Get the kids, save your daughter.
Eddie steps out and walks toward Mr. Crockett. Mr. Crockett eyes Eddie.
He was the only adult that ever loved me. When he came for me, I wanted to stay with him.
Summer gapes at Eddie.
Forever.
What's going on? What are you doing?
I used to dream about this place, Summer. I could feel him out there. I'm
been trying to come home to him since I was 9 years old, and thanks to you, I've made it.
Oh, God. You're Anthony.
Anthony points his gun at her.
I can't let you destroy this paradise. Break up our family.
Oh, my God. Major! Major, wake up, baby! You gotta run! Run, Major, wake up!
I'm sorry.
Do it, pussy!
Anthony?
Anthony freezes, then turns to Mr. Crockett and lowers his gun. Mr. Crockett furrows his brow and stands.
Come here.
Anthony approaches him.
Get closer.
Anthony tries to hug him.
No.
Why?
Tears well in Anthony's eyes as his jaw quivers.
Who are you?
I'm Anthony. The boy from the storybook.
Anthony? No. Anthony is an innocent young boy. You are an old, bitter, insane man who have done nothing with his life.
Anthony shrinks back.
You don't belong here.
No, I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
You don't belong here.
You don't belong here.
The children step to Anthony while wagging their fingers.
I do.
Blue rises behind Anthony. Anthony turns.
No, I'm your friend.
Blue chops Anthony's throat. Anthony drops. Blue peels Anthony's flesh away. Blue's brain throbs in his cracked open skull as he hammers Anthony with his fist.
Blue! Don't play with your food in front of the chairman.
Blue drags Anthony's body away.
Sick fuck.
Mr. Crockett turns to Summer.
I can sense that you're angry. Sometimes our feelings can grow a little too big for our bodies to handle. You should try counting backwards from five and taking big, deep breaths, Summer.
Mr. Crockett's eyes bulge as he lifts, then lowers his arms.
Remember, Summer, you're the boss when it comes to your feelings.
Fuck you.
Mr. Crockett pouts.
Your friend's objectives didn't play out so well for him, Summer.
However, fairness is one of my most important lessons. So, I'm going to give you a shot, Summer.
Chair throws Summer to the floor. She gets to her knees.
Major, come here.
Major walks to Mr. Crockett. Summer gets to her feet.
Go on. Take your son back. Yeah. Bring him home. If that's what he desires.
Major, I'm your mother. He does not know you. He does not love you.
But I do. Major, you have to choose who you like your parent to be.
Mr. Crockett rests his hands on Major's shoulders. Major looks from him to Summer.
I'm sorry, baby. Mommy was wrong to say all of those things, but I didn't mean them.
Mr. Crockett nods.
Major, the only thing I want in the world is what is best for you. Please, baby, just trust me.
Major takes several steps towards Summer, then stops. Mr. Crockett fixes Summer with his gaze as she moves to Major and cups his face.
Come on, baby. Sweetie, it's me. It's me. Look. Yes, there you are. Yes. I told you I would always be there for you.
Mom?
Yes.
Summer pulls Major into a hug.
That was touching.
I'm taking my son and getting the hell out of here. You hear me, you asshole?
But that isn't what he wants. He wants to stay with me. don't you, Major? You see, he called out to me after you said you wanted to quit being his mother.
Major and Summer swap looks.
Major, you want to be with the person who would never say he wouldn't want to be a father to a boy as special and as wonderful as you are.
Major.
Major gently holds one of Summer's hands and bows his head. Major lifts his face to her.
I'm sorry, Mommy.
Yes!
Mr. Crockett does a jig while Major's eyes fill with static.
Well, it's been so much fun having visitors, but I think it's time we say goodbye to our guest now. But before she goes, how about we play one last game with her, huh? What will it be? Oh, Barrel of Monkeys?
No!
No. Hopscotch?
No!
No! We want to have more fun!
Mr. Crockett lifts his marker.
Oh! I got it. The greatest game of all. Hide and seek.
Hide and seek time. Yeah, hide and seek time. I love hide and seek.
But we'll make it even more fun. Whoever lands the death blow on Summer wins the game and an endless bowl of ice cream.
Yeah!
All right, let's play.
Summer bolts. The children crouch and bare their teeth.
Let's see how you do in the dark.
Mr. Crockett snaps, and the lights of his set power off. Summer turns on her flashlight and looks around. The crimson vortex's light dimly illuminates the set. Summer turns and sweeps her flashlight over a metal rack filled with rusted and battered film equipment. Summer inches forward, her body tense. She whips around as a figure runs past. Wide-eyed, Summer backs away. An equipment rack shifts. Summer quickly looks around. She spots Darren and Carrie peering at her through a gap in large lights on a rack. A girl bites Summer's leg. Summer recoils and shines her light on the bloody-mouthed girl. The girl rapidly crawls to Summer. Summer rushes into a broad room. She stumbles away from a figure speeding past her. Summer points her flashlight at the ceiling. Blocky Bird swoops onto Summer and pecks her face. She shields her face with her arms. Blocky Bird scratches her cheek with its skeletal wing. Summer strangles it. She flings it to the floor. She stomps its head. The bloody-faced moon stares down at Summer while she staggers back. Mr. Crockett emerges from the shadows behind Summer. She turns and rushes back.
Found you.
The lights power back on. Summer turns to the children stalking toward her.
Darren, listen to me. Hey, I saw your mother. She wants me to bring you home. She loves you. She loves you. She misses you. I can take you to her.
Mr. Crockett says free. Major, come here, son.
Major steps to him.
What I'm teaching you today is a lesson that I had to learn the hard way, too, when I was a little boy. Sometimes, to grow up, we have to say goodbye to our past. I did it with my dad, too. And now, it's time you become someone special.
Mr. Crockett uses his marker to draw a rusty combat knife into the air.
Stop.
Major takes the knife. Mr. Crockett caps his marker. Summer reaches into her pocket, then looks at Major firmly. Summer blows the whistle. The static briefly drops from Major's eyes as he shakes his head. Major turns to Mr. Crockett, then leans close to him. Mr. Crockett grins at Summer while hugging Major.
That's my son.
Summer's face drops. Mr. Crockett points at her.
Come on. Move.
The other children back away from Summer. Major slowly walks to Summer, holding up the knife. Mr. Crockett's face strains while he mimes stabbing her.
Major.
Major reaches her. Mr. Crockett clasps his hands.
I love you, baby.
Major lunges at Summer. Major drops the knife. Summer looks down at Mr. Crockett's magic marker as Major pokes her belly with it. The static leaves Major's eyes. He turns to Mr. Crockett.
Huh?
Mr. Crockett rapidly pats his pants.
Major?
The static drops from the other children's eyes. Summer moves in front of them.
What did she do, Major?
We're taking the kids and we're getting the fuck out of this shithole. It's over.
It's not over until Mr. Crockett says it's over. We still have more playtime. You don't know who the fuck you're talking to. Oh, that rainbow book motherfucker is a candy-ass bitch next to me. No, 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 no. I was forged in the fires of hell and abuse.
He grows fangs and charges. Summer slashes his belly with light from the marker. His guts spill.
Shuri bottom born and raised, bitch.
Mr. Crockett's upper and lower bodies separate. Summer draws a door of light.
Let's go, kids. We're getting the hell out of here.
Kelly walks through the door.
Come on.
Mr. Crockett lifts his face. He glowers while the other children step through the door of light. He quickly crawls to Summer. She sidesteps to the door while Darren walks through. Mr. Crockett grabs Major's leg.
Please, don't leave.
Let me go. Let me go.
Playtime isn't over.
Major holds Summer tight and she pulls him away.
Don't worry, son.
Wherever you go,
I'll be there in a heartbeat.
Summer and Major enter the door of light and vanish. Sunlight washes over a cobblestone church with an American flag on a pole nearby. A sign in a metal stand reads, Clothing Drive, 11 a.m. Summer walks past people inside to Rhonda as she sorts clothes.
I heard you pull through. You bad motherfucker.
Rhonda turns with a cane.
I brought someone who wants to see you.
Darren walks in. Rhonda sinks to her knees.
Mom!
Darren hurries to Rhonda and they hug tightly.
All the other kids are still being assigned homes, but I just wanted to make sure you two found each other.
Crying, Rhonda gets to her feet.
I don't even have the words to thank you.
Oh, no, please don't. Promise me that you'll let it all go. Forgive yourself. Nobody has all the answers. We're all just doing the best we can.
Darren looks up at Summer.
We do it alone. Okay?
Rhonda hugs Summer.
I'm gonna do my best to try to follow my own damn advice.
Summer pulls away and eyes Darren.
Take care of your mama.
Rhonda throws her arms around Darren and weeps.
Thank you.
Rhonda kisses Darren's head. Summer rips a missing poster for Major off of a wooden pole. Grinning, Major carries a popcorn bag out of a movie theater with Darren. Darren tries to grab some of his popcorn. Later, Major runs out of his house to Summer as she walks to a trash can with her VHS player. Major opens the trash can.
All right. Damn. Damn. Who needs a VCR? That was a horrible high five. Let's do it again. All right.
She hurls a football to Major and he catches it. She pulls Major up into a hug and spins it. Major dances with her, the whistle in his mouth. Summer kisses Major's head. At night, Summer sits with Major in his bed and reads a book. He rests his head on her chest, eyes shut. Later, Major sits at a desk in his room and draws. Summer sits with a silver-haired woman at her dining table.
Mrs. Beverly, thank you so much for meeting about Major's situation at school.
I mean, I can't say I'm surprised to hear that Major's having some trouble readjusting. Mm. He's been through a lot the past few months.
As much as we want to accommodate Major's healing process, mm-hmm. I'm afraid we can't put the safety of our staff at risk.
What do you mean?
The woman shows photos of various arms covered in bruises.
Major has severe issues when it comes to adult discipline and authority.
There's no way my major's responsible for this.
I'm afraid the first place we always have to start with this sort of thing is the parenting.
Summer looks up from the photos. Major writes Major over a drawing of himself and Mom over one of Summer.
Well, I've always told Major to stand up for himself, but I've never...
Oh, no, Miss Beverly, I wasn't suggesting you. But is it possible that the influence of the male parental figure in his life...
Well, Jarrell, Major's father, he passed away recently.
I mean your new relationship.
Relationship? What do you mean?
Major starts writing Dad.
There's a lot of talk. Fear, really, around the schoolyard. About Major's new father figure.
Summer's face tightens.
The children keep away from Major because... they're afraid this man is going to come and get them and snatch them up through their TVs.
Oh my God.
Can you tell us a little bit about this person? Please help us.
Summer meets the woman's eye. Major finishes writing Dad over a drawing of Mr. Crockett. A pack of markers on his desk shakes. Major pulls Mr. Crockett's magic marker from the marker pack. Major examines the marker.
That's my boy.
Major smiles deeply at the marker. Mr. Crockett bares his teeth in a TV screen flashing with static.
A friend like you is a friend.
Directed by Brandon Espy. Written by Carl Reed and Brandon Espy. Credits continue.
You can call on me. I'll be there to protect you in a heartbeat. A friend like you is a friend like me. A friend like us is a friend like we. Whenever you're in trouble, you can call on me. I'll be there to protect you in a heartbeat. Yes!
Know what you gotta do when you see fruits and vegetables in front of you, right? You know the answer. You gotta eat right. You gotta eat well. Take a great big bite. It's so good for your health. You gotta eat right. You gotta eat well. Take a great big bite. It's so good for your health. Fruits and vegetables that make your body strong. All of that junk food, they do your body wrong. Fruits and vegetables, they make your body strong. But beware of that junk food, they do your body wrong. You know that junk food never gave anybody any energy. They'll just make you sleepy and tired. All right now. You know when you got a toy in your hand and you got a friend standing there staring at it? Well, you know what to do.
Sharing means caring, can't you see? Sharing means trust between you and me. You give me what's yours and I'll give you what's mine. We'll share together all the time.
boys and girls. That's the best thing to do and the most fun.
Sharing means caring, can't you see? Sharing means trust between you and me. You give me what's yours and I'll give you what's mine. We'll share together all the time.
Copyright 2024 Worth and Brooks, Inc. All rights reserved. Audio description by Point360. Narrated by Bill Larson.
You won't strike gold from digging up your nose. It won't taste great adding boogers to your plate. It won't strike gold from digging up your nose. It won't taste great adding boogers to your plate.
Logos, Worth and Brooks, Inc.